The Business Bunker with Paul Andrew.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show here on 100.2 FM on Freeview 277 and online at bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stocking gorgeous Jill Serkin.
Oh, I've got lager.
You've got lager and biscuits, haven't you?
Well, you know what, Paul Andrews, I was busy this morning. I had to feed the fish and walk the dog and all that.
You boiled an egg, I saw you.
I boiled a little egg and I made one of my green smoothies, which you don't like.
Horrible.
But, you know, I need to line my stomach when I'm drinking live on air. So I had a couple of biscuits just to keep it down. But you know what I'm having? It's really delicious. So Danny's just cracked open from Curious Brewery. And it's hard to say that when you've got...
It's not an easy word to say, is it? Curious.
No, Curious Brewery in New York. And he's just cracked open. What's this one called, Danny?
That's a brew lager.
Oh, okay.
Award-winning brew lager.
Yeah, award-winning brew lager. This is before I even drink it.
I know, it's terrible, isn't it?
And it's really, you know, I'm just going to smell it, Paul Andrews.
I can smell it from here.
It's absolutely delicious. You're really getting the hop, aren't you?
And it's all Kent hops, which
it's
is
all Kentish.
Really great. We've been talking about local and supporting local. These are from the local hop farm, which is one of the few sustainably carbon negative hop farms in the country.
Are we interviewing now? Have we
Not
started?
Yet. No, we're going to interview him in a minute. We'll but you seem to have started anyway.
Well, we'll come back to you. But I'm just
no, you can talk to her. I don't mind you talking to Danny. You can talk to Danny. She's like that. Once she gets her drinking around, she'll just talk to anyone, Danny. You know, she'll just ramble on. Yeah.
It's very summery. It's really nice. But it's not like a lager, is it? It's got that bite. You know, lager can be a bit...
Absolutely. It's got great character, and that does come from the Kent hops. It won Beer of the Year just a couple of years ago.
I can imagine.
So it's not just us who think it's fantastic.
It's really... Because it's got a really good taste. Sometimes lager can be a bit watery or a bit...
I'll tell you what. Shall we interview Danny? As soon as you insist on talking about it already.
I'm just putting a tweet out, actually, of me guzzling.
Yeah, absolutely.
With it, but I can't... You know when you put the photo out on Twitter and then nothing comes up when you search for people? It's very annoying.
Yeah.
But you can retweet it and then everybody will see it.
Thank you. Anyway, listen...
Off you go.
Oh, thank you. That's very kind of her. Yeah. She's good to me like that.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a pleasure to welcome onto the show for the very first time Danny Hoskins of Curious Brewery, based here in Ashford. Danny, welcome to the show. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for bringing her some of your produce to try. At least it'll keep her quiet for a little while. First of all, I want to know a little bit about Danny, because you've got a long history in the beer industry. I want to know a little bit about you, and then we're going to talk about the brewery itself, all the things you do there, and then about some of your products.
Okay. Well, leaning into the conversation earlier, I joined the hospitality business in my early 20s, and I've been here ever since. I've had a fantastic
career. So, like, 5 or 10 years then?
5 or 10 years, it's been a tough few years. I started in my 20s as a salesman on the ground, working for a company called Watney Truman, which eventually became...
Oh!
You know Watney Truman?
Huge, of course.
Watney's, we're of an age, we remember
Watney.
Well, that's the one. And when I was a kid, Party 7.
I don't know why my hands went on my hips when I sang that.
London Walk.
Yeah.
Our favourite beer.
Yeah, that's him.
I'm not going to sing it, but I know what you mean.
You sing it so well.
Yeah, so I spent my time working in London for 20 years, working in sales and marketing roles, and the business eventually became Scottish in Newcastle, selling brands like Foster's with Paul Hogan, John Smith's with Jack D. On the market.
Where were you based in London? Where were you working in London?
So I covered the whole of London, but I'm from North East London.
Okay. My granddad worked for what eventually became Diageo at the Acton Brewery. Park Royal,
I still remember the drays in Wandsworth with Young. Was it Young?
It was Young, yeah.
Because I lived in Clapham Junction, so you... I don't know if they still have that.
They did have the
it's quite a regular sight,
yeah,
you know,
going around the pubs.
There.
I think they still are brought out to visit some of their pubs from time to time. Yeah.
So you've got a long history in the beer industry. So let's move forward from Watney's and London.
Well, for the last 10 years I've been working in the craft brewing industry, which is relatively new piece. And I've been with Curious now for all of 3 months.
Right.
Curious... up the road in Ashford, fantastic site, only been there 4 years now, and again going to what we were talking about earlier, big employer of local people, employ over 40 people.
Just as a matter of interest, at the time, I don't know if it's been surpassed, But when it was built, the brewery, it was crowdfunding funded, and they raised £3 million, and it was the quickest crowdfunder to £1 million ever staged. They raised it in 3 days.
Wow.
Well, we get a lot of those crowdfunders still come into the brewery because we've got this fantastic visitor centre where you can come and do a brewery tour. You can see where your money went.
Yeah.
But you can also sit and eat and drink in our bar and restaurant, which has just been refurbished.
You've got a fabulous menu here, Danny. I'm just going through it. Obviously, a lot of seasonal plates.
Catches your fancy.
I've eaten in the restaurant quite a lot, actually.
I could tell.
Yeah, it's really nice.
Yeah.
So we have a new chef, Ian Crumble.
Ian Crumble?
What a name for a chef.
Yeah, I love Crumble.
Does he do desserts, does he?
He does the Kentish tart, which apparently is very, very popular.
Yeah, that's what you used to call me, didn't you?
She's a Kentish tart. Yeah.
I do love a crumble. Yeah. I was looking at your menu, so what would I have? I would definitely have the whole fish.
Yeah.
Obviously, fish are the catch of the day. And then there's some really nice, of course, the triple cooked paprika chips would have to go with that.
Yes.
Crushed new potatoes. I was at Mallard's Farm in Faversham. I don't know whether, Lucy, you know Mallard's Farm in Faversham. It's a beautiful farm shop that I go to on the way home. And he grows his own new potatoes, and they're Wilgers. I keep telling Paul about these. They are absolutely delicious, like nothing I've ever tasted. Beautiful, small, new potatoes. And we're right in the season now, and he also does a Riviera, I think. But you can't get better than a Kentish new potato, can you?
You can't. And we're actually talking currently to some Kent potato farmers, because one of the aims of the bar and dining area is to have as much locally sourced produce as possible. So the fish that you mentioned is locally caught fish.
It's out of the River Stour. It's bone stickleback.
Shall I put you in touch with Mallard's Farm?
Please do. And what I'd say on air is we're looking to talk to more local food producers. So Ian Crumble, get in touch with Ian. We're really, really keen to develop that side of things there because, we know it tastes better when it comes from Kent.
Absolutely.
Well, I'm really enjoying this, Paul Andrews. Very nice. What I'd like now, I've had the chocolate biscuits, but I think some nice nuts would go nice.
Nuts.
Or some of your triple cooked. I noticed you also do, what are they called? Halloumi fries, which is my one weakness.
Yep.
Seared scallop, another of my
seared
one weaknesses.
Seared scallop, very, very popular.
Yeah, and they do, of course, the cherry vine tomato and red onion bruschetta. Mm-hmm. That would sound lovely. Mm-hmm. Chorizo and sausage scotch egg, my one weakness. I love a scotch egg. And that would be maybe still warm when you get it, of course.
Oh, it certainly is.
If Mr. Crumble.
With a bit of runniness.
Yeah, if Chef Crumble brings it out to you. Mm-hmm. And it's all food that sounds really amazing when you want to eat. To have a beer or something with it. It's the kind of food where you really just want a nice glass of beer next time.
Lovely
food, Have you got any outside dining? Any alfresco?
I'm glad you mentioned that. We've just opened our outside dining area. So if you come to the brewery now, it's got its own container bar. We bought another brewery called Wild Beer Co. at the start of the year. So we've got a new range of beers to sit alongside the Curious range. And the Wild Container Bar sort of hosts the outside area. So we've got benches, we've got 450 festoon lights, a stretch tent soon to be put up at the end of the summer. And to kick all of that off, you must come along to our big barbecue event, which is on the weekend of Friday the 21st, 22nd. So we're taking our part
of July.
Of July, just a couple of weeks away. We're supporting Love Ash Food, which is the big sort of food and drink festival for the month of July.
Yeah.
And our weekend is the 21st, 22nd, 23rd. And on the 22nd, if you come along, bearing in mind we're in a radio station, we have live music during the afternoon and evening.
Fantastic.
So you can enjoy
the bands?
The drink. Various local bands. And the details will be on the website.
Fabulous.
Just while we're talking about events as well, today is your last chance to win tickets to a gin event in Sussex.
It is.
Yeah, if you go to Instagram and follow Curious Brewery on Instagram, there's an opportunity to win two free tickets, but it closes today, the 4th of July. So you've got to get in there quick. Go in, Curious Brewery on Instagram, give them a follow. I think you can, it's also on Twitter, Curious Brewery on Twitter. Have a look. There's a gin festival taking place in Sussex, and they've got some free tickets on offer.
Oh, that sounds very, very good. Yeah. So you employ over 40 people.
We do.
And what was it Ian Crumble?
Ian Crumble is our new chef.
Okay.
Yeah, he's been working with us for a while, but he's now our new head chef. And he works alongside Dave Briggs, who's our general manager at the bar restaurant.
Briggsy.
So yeah, it's open. The bar and restaurant's open Wednesdays to Sundays till late. But yeah, with the outside area now.
I'm so glad you've got an outside. I'm one of those people. I just love summer and I hate being inside. Yeah, we get such long winters, don't we?
Absolutely.
And I think the winter this year seemed to go on till June.
Yeah.
I still had a log fire, so I love eating outside.
Absolutely.
And we'll always do that if I can.
And the good thing with the outside bar is we're launching quite a lot of our new beer range from the Wild Beer Co. So you're going to see some gluten-free beer under our Bibble Ale Ale, which is great.
Yeah.
All of our beers are suitable for vegans and vegetarians as well. I mentioned quite a few have won awards.
Right.
Best in World Beer Series, which is something. And of course, don't forget, we also produce Curious Apple Cider, which is delicious. I'm a cider drinker myself.
Yeah.
It really is fantastic.
Goes down very well in summer. And it's also a really good accompaniment to many foods, cider, isn't it? It's a good accompaniment.
Absolutely. And the great thing, if you come to Curious Brewery, you can book a brewery tour. You can see where the magic happens, where these 40 people make the various beers.
I'm assuming that would make a nice present for
people. It would make a lovely present. We do tour vouchers on the website, curiousbrewery.com. And Matt Anderson, who's our head brewer, he's been there since the start, has really created a fantastic team, young team, a lot of them first jobbers, which we were talking about earlier, really diverse range and a lot of fun. And I was saying earlier, it's one of the few places you can come and work where you might start off in logistics or manufacturing, move into sales. We've just had one of the team move from logistics to sales into my team, and on into marketing. It's really good fun. As I said, I've been in the drinks industry for over 20 years now. I love it, and you get a lot of friends. It's always competitive, but it's good competitive.
Absolutely. I want to focus now, Danny, if I may, on your core products, which are beers and cider, obviously. The restaurants are wonderful. And I highly recommend it. If you're in the Ashford area, go and eat there. It's really worth it. And the brewery tours will be interesting as well. But in the scheme of things, you're a fairly new brewery.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Give us an idea of the range of different beers that you produce. And I want to talk a bit, if we may, about your market, where you sell them into and how that works. Clink, clink.
So we have two beer ranges. We have a core range from Curious, where we have four core beers, which are two lagers, the Lager and a Pilsner, the IPA, Session IPA, and our Curious Apple Cider.
Okay.
So that's the four core range.
Are they all brewed in Ashford?
They're all everything we're talking about is not only brewed in Ashford, it's also now bottled and canned in Ashford.
So right. Okay.
One of the few brewers to be able to do that.
Okay.
From a sustainable point of view, that's fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely.
From a brewing point of view, it's really important because beer doesn't actually like to travel and be moved around. A lot of breweries have to move the beer once it's brewed somewhere else to be packaged.
Yeah.
We do it all under one roof.
Yeah.
And if you come to the brewery tour, the bottling line is quite fantastic. It's like a train set.
Yeah,
lots of noise, lots of movement.
I'm just thinking of that Ab Fab when she went to the sushi. Was it Ab Fab?
Yeah,
falls on the conveyor. That would be me, I think. Are you supplying restaurants?
We
around?
Supply all of the UK, which was one of the questions. So obviously, we focus on our heartland, Kent and Sussex, but all of these beers were designed to be national beers.
Mm.
So as an example, if you go to number one lounges at the airports, you'll see Curious.
Oh, beer. Really?
If you go to buy some beer, craft pub on the seafront in Brighton, you'll see our Pilsner, Curious Pilsner being poured alongside Pogo. So it really is a range of different outlets.
I was going to say, you know, is there, do you sell to supermarkets and off licenses and things like that?
Waitrose is one of our biggest customers.
Right.
So they take four of our wild beers and also the beer you're drinking, Jules, are there?
Yeah.
The Brew Lager.
Yeah.
That's on sale at Waitrose as well.
Okay.
But we're also in the chest sticks most good retailers.
Okay. And do you sell directly to pubs?
We sell directly to pubs. We also sell through a wholesale network.
Right.
But yeah, lots of pubs will take our beers.
Okay.
And of course, your customers can get them online. They're probably the best place if members of the public want to get some. Is
right.
To either our Curious website or our Wild Beer Co. website. We've got some weekend offers this weekend.
Okay.
Some flash sales. So you can get a range of beers. If you're not sure which beer, you can get a mix pack through us. and we'll courier it to your doorstep.
Okay.
How good is that in time for the weekend?
Dangerous.
Yeah.
Lucy, I've just proffered Lucy a little bit of mine, and it is mine, Lucy, it is mine.
I appreciate the sharing. Yeah, how nice it is. Yeah. I really appreciate it.
I know. I did it with, you know, like a sort of pursed lips. But the flavour is...
It's very nice. It's very... It is very hoppy.
Yeah.
It's also very fresh. It's something that I really... I can see myself enjoying.
Yeah.
You know, in the sunshine.
Exactly.
On the terrace.
Yeah. What's your little girl's name?
Emily.
So Emily would have something else, and you could sit in the garden and quaff this together.
Absolutely.
Chatting about why she could be a vet, but it takes 7 years, I think.
Something like that, yes, and why she really needs to focus on maths if she's going to do that.
Yeah,
but I think one of the other things for me is to actually talk to her, and we have lots of conversations about local stuff, where things come from, where they're made, and all of those things. I got told off this week because we do milk in glass bottles. And the milkman had a problem and couldn't come, so I had to buy plastic milk. I mean, I got quite an issue. You can approve of this, it's in glass bottles, it's all of those things. But she would approve even more if she knew it was local. I mean, she does keep me on my toes, definitely. But I think it's interesting, because when I say I'm French, everybody thinks wine. I grew up in Flanders, so I'm from beer country, and I really appreciate this. And it's one of the things coming to England is... that whole movement of the kind of the small breweries, the craft, the thinking about the flavours.
It's brewers' interest. So when I joined the drinks industry 20 years ago, there were 3 brewers in London and just a couple of major brewers in Sussex and Kent, Shepherd and Neame and Harvey's probably being the most famous local. Anyone have a guess how many breweries there are now in Kent and Sussex alone?
Oh, there must be at least 50, I would have thought.
Anyone else?
I would say more than 100.
Yeah, absolutely.
Really?
There's over 120 in Kent and Sussex, and another 120 in London. So you've gone from probably 5 or 6 breweries competing for those 3 geographies to best part of 700. So it's a big employer of people again.
Absolutely.
But for the customer, the range of styles and types of beer and quality actually has massively increased.
I love it when I go to a London restaurant and I see our Kentish ales and wines.
Yeah.
You know, I balk at the price of some of the Kentish wines, you know, because they're not cheap, are they, some of them? But they're absolutely gorgeous and they're as good as a champagne, many of them.
It's interesting, again, what you've described though, Danny, is how industries go round and round in loops. When I was a kid growing up in Maidstone, the centre of Maidstone was Fremlin's Brewery. Yeah, which is now the Fremlin's Walk Shopping Centre. Mm. But that was a brewery, and Fremlin's got all of their hops from local farms around Maidstone to brew beer. Then things started to change and breweries started to take over. First of all, we had Courage, the brewery.
Yeah.
They started to buy up a lot of the hop fields. Mm. Then Fremlin's was bought by Whitbreads. And you ended up, as you said, with like 3 breweries in the whole country that owned everything and everybody. But of course, these things then kind of unravel, don't they? Because people get fed up with that. They get fed up with homogenous products.
Isn't it this kind of really annoying when you go on holiday in Spain, you can have exactly the same beer as you can have at your local pub?
Yeah.
That's not what it's about.
Absolutely,
And I like the fact that you can kind of now go somewhere in Kent or be in the north and say, you know what, that comes from Kent.
Yeah.
I know where that comes from.
Yeah.
And I like that. I also like the fact that it's made in a way we can see it. Mm. I think one of the things about the place that you have, and you haven't really kind of said, you can see how it's made.
Yeah.
You go there.
You can look through the window and see it.
And I think, you know, for us to be able to relate back, and it goes back to that skills piece, to that inspiring that next generation, you guys have set yourselves up to do that, to show them what it looks like to be in a brewery.
Every sense, you can touch it, smell it, taste it, which is quite wonderful, and hold it in your hand and take it home.
I think we've got lots of micropubs now. I mean,
and microbrewers, you know. And again, funnily enough, it's amazing how well produced this show is. I was talking earlier about a paper round I had, and one of the roads on my paper round was Plantation Lane in Bursted, which was named after the Plantation Pub. And when I was 12 or 13, the Plantation Pub had its own hop garden, and they produced their own beer and sold their own beer in that pub. Yeah, of course, that was just, it was Mickey Mouse then, you know, you just, that'll never last, and of course it all faded away, and the pub itself is not a pub anymore, it's a house, but and the hop garden went as well. But I just want to, I don't know if you know, so don't worry if you don't, but beer has a long history, yeah? I've no idea when we first started brewing it. It's actually a product of Northern Europe. I'm a big fan of history.
Did you know when it started?
No.
The earliest accounts is back to the Pharaohs.
Right, okay.
Where they made a beer which was quite lumpy, so they also invented straws. So
lumpy beer.
The beer. Through straws to get through the
lumps.
The lumps, absolutely, yeah.
You know, when you watch period dramas, I'm a fan of, like, Call the Midwife, and but the, you know, things like Downton Abbey and that, they're always drinking, aren't they? You know, not necessarily beer, but I guess they have beer in the alehouses, the poorer people, perhaps. But they're always drinking, aren't they? It's just like, you don't see them making cups of tea.
The history...
wasn't it?
Yeah, the water was dangerous.
That's entirely the history of alcohol.
Alcohol.
Although alcohol has other properties, but basically it made it safe to ingest water. If you look at Roman Britain, for instance, which is one of my areas, everybody, every day, children included, drank wine and beer, but heavily, heavily watered, yeah? Yeah, heavily watered, because it was the only safe way to imbibe water. One of the interesting things is if you look at the Far East, they adopted a completely different way of drinking water, which was to boil it and infuse it, and they invented tea, yeah, as a way of consuming water. That was safe, but you know, that's the history, and there's lots of famous stuff about how many pints of gin everybody in London drank on a daily basis. So it's a product that's been around 4,000 or 5,000 years. Started off lumpy, now not quite so lumpy, hopefully. But it's a product that is fascinating. As an industrial thing as well, because of this cyclical, and when you look at it, as an entrepreneur, I find that inspiring. How over a period of time you could look at an industry and watch it change, and you can almost start to predict what will happen. And here's a prediction for you. There's a lot of controversy going on at the moment about things that banks are doing, yeah? And there's a lot of worry about central digital currencies and stuff like that. I will see a time, I believe, in the next decade or so, when banks will come along that will not offer apps and will not offer online banking, yeah? Just to be different, just to turn the cycle round again.
Yeah, where you can actually go and talk to someone.
If you look at Metro Bank is one of the new challenger banks. They're the only banks that opened what they call stores. Yeah, they're open 7 days a week, and you can go in and do stuff. It's amazing that you can walk in and talk to a human and get something done rather than phone up and get someone say computer say no.
I think there's a big rise now in using Nationwide and Halifax Building Societies for that very reason, because they are staying in the high street. Yeah. Every week I go and withdraw cash, and I use it in my independent shop. So my butcher, my baker, all the independent shops. I don't bother with Tesco, Metro, or whatever. But always use cash, and they're always very grateful for that.
Yeah. But coming back to Curious Brewery, what are your plans? Where do we go from here? Where's global domination taking us? That's a question as well. Sorry to throw loads of questions at you all at once. Do you actually ship abroad at the moment?
We do. We export. We export to a few countries, but that's an area we're looking to grow. Actually,
right.
That's on the sales plan for the next couple of years.
I'm getting all excited here. you have the brewery in Ashford, and presumably the new brewery that you just bought, that's...
We've moved... Well, that's linked to your first question. So the beauty of the brewery in Ashford is that it's got the capacity to grow threefold from where it is at the moment.
Right, okay.
And that's actually part of my job, is to work with Matt so we continue to produce award-winning beer that people love and sell more of it, because we're one of the few breweries that has got the capacity. It was built with the objective of being much bigger than it currently is. So the brewery that we bought, Wild Beer Co., we bought it from its roots in the southwest.
Yep.
It's now being produced exactly the same quality, same standard. You wouldn't be able to tell the difference.
But in Ashford, absolutely. Okay.
And the lovely thing with doing that, it's more sustainably brewed.
Yeah.
Ashford is actually a very sustainable brewery. We're getting ourselves registered at the moment in terms of we know exactly what our emissions are, but part of the growth of the brewery will be on a sustainability growth as well. So not only will we be an award-winning brewer, but an award-winning brewer that is one of the most sustainable brewers in the South.
Absolutely.
Which is really important.
So you currently export to some countries.
Yes.
Yeah. Do you see a time when you would have to build a brewery overseas?
That would be a lovely thought. I think that's a little way off.
Yeah.
But yeah, of course that could be. I think at the moment we'll focus on the UK because,
right.
Yeah, as I said, there's a long way to go still here. Yeah. And the beauty of export is you can take your beer or work with another existing brewery to collaborate and maybe bring some of their beer here, some of their skills, and swap. And that's probably a more interesting way of doing things.
So where do you export to at the moment?
So export to from Ireland, parts of Spain and Italy. Wild in particular had a good export history with quite a few parts of Europe.
Right.
We're having our first event in Jersey, which is actually
an
export market.
Yeah.
So our chairman, Mark Crowther, was the ex-owner of Liberation Brewery over there. So we've got a link. So yeah, we're having a really good event in a couple of weeks in Jersey. So that'll be another small market open, but a nice market nonetheless.
Absolutely. Okay.
Yeah.
So are you off to Jersey to participate in that?
One of my team, Chris and Brett, who actually founded Wild Beer 10 years ago, are the lucky ones who are going to Jersey. I'm going to stay here watching the ranch.
And you're going to do the work?
I'm going to, yes.
So lots of plans to carry on producing things and to widen your export market. Obviously, you ship beer all around the UK.
Yes.
Tell us some numbers. Tickle us with some stats.
So, well, the brewery has capacity to brew over 1 million pints.
Right. In what time period?
Over a brewing period, which is about 6 weeks.
Okay,
If it was at full capacity, so we could do that.
Right.
We supply across the UK at the moment. Our main area is, as you'd expect, Kent, Sussex and London. But yeah, we've got some really great customers. We're in some of the airports, handpicked hotels, which is a Kent-based hotelier. And with Wild Brewery now, we've got roots right down into the southwest and the south, which was one of their stronger areas.
Yeah.
So Bristol, Bath are now opening up to us.
Do you know how many bottles of beer you produce a month, a week, a day?
It grows because we have a lot of customers. But yeah, this week alone we sent out 10,000 bottles.
Wow.
To give you an idea, and that's to a new group that's got 30 cafes and bars across Sussex and Kent.
We could talk about this for days because I get fascinated by the whole thing because I know nothing about this.
Yeah.
And with you talking about it, it just spirals loads of questions. Like, where'd you get the bottles from? And they've got quite a distinctive bottle as well. Were you involved in the design of that? Did you specifically request that? Or?
That's a specific design for the brewery. I wasn't. I can't claim credit for that because I wasn't there in 2019. But no, it's a very distinctive bottle. The logo's obviously stands out, as does the name. It's memorable, which really helps.
Absolutely.
It's a popular barkle. The name Curious, people know they know it's a quality brew, whichever the beers we produce.
Mm.
And the combination now with Wild has just opened us up to more markets because you've got this really super premium lager and apple range of beers with Curious and a more crafty range with Pogo.
Talk us through this orange can. So we're not opening that because otherwise I'll be ratted on the way home.
You don't want me being ratted on the way home.
No.
So the beer I've got in my hand is called Pogo Fruit Ale, and this is a Wild Beer Co. beer, which we do on draft and we do in can. It's a passion fruit pale ale, and the difference to the lager is it's going to clearly be like the butt lager, bulky hopped, but it's got a lot of tropical fruit characteristics.
Is that actual fruit, or is it just bouquet?
It comes from the hops, so the
hops are
like the grape equivalent, and they will give those tropical fruit.
Flavors.
So Mandarina, Bavaria, Simcoe hops are the exotic names, but they will give that tropical fruit flavour that comes out.
Right.
So just like the grape will give a different...
A nose and a bouquet.
Absolutely.
Oh, I like it. So passion fruit
passion fruit, orange,
guava. And did you mention... Sorry.
Yeah, we need these dark bottles to protect it, presumably.
That stops the light getting into the beer.
Mm. And what happens when the light gets into the beer?
It'll make the beer turn, so it'll lose its life and character, and ultimately its taste.
It's a bit like essential oils and some of the stuff
that I
use.
Yeah. Beers are not designed to sit in the sun or in heat.
Yeah, they're designed to drink.
They are designed to be drunk, yes, absolutely.
So you... I'm just fascinated by the whole process. You buy the bottles in, presumably you don't make them yourselves, obviously. Is that something that's done locally as well?
It's not locally. There's a number of glass producers we use, but no, there's not a local glass.
Yeah, because I was going to say, I couldn't think of anyone locally.
It's not from local, unfortunately. If there was, we'd
use them, of course. Yeah. Cool. And I've got to ask this as well. Again, when I was a kid, I'm teetotal, so I don't drink alcohol. But when I was a kid, you know, we had this big thing about lemonade bottles and stuff that you used to take back.
Yeah.
That's got to make a comeback at some point as well, I would have thought, although it's not easy anymore, is it?
It has. Scotland has actually tried to bring that.
Yeah, they've been muttering about it for ages.
It's very controversial.
Why is it controversial?
Because, sadly, the UK isn't set up to actually practically collect those bottles from the many pubs. If you imagine how many glass bottles a pub will have outside
and
needs to be picked up daily, that's not practical. We haven't got a system to collect
them. They couldn't collect it when they drop off.
Now,
if you think about the logistics of this,
cardboard boxes.
You know, and the difference in how things are these days.
It used to be just kids taking it to the local cabin.
Yeah, but what happened was, if you remember, it was in crates outside the shop. If you did that now, they'd just become weapons, wouldn't they? That's the problem, is that back in the 60s when we were all stupid and didn't think of things like that, you could leave a crate of empty bottles outside and nobody would... back their eyelids.
That's why I love my Riverford delivery, which I've had for 20 years. Like, they take back everything, all the egg boxes, everything. There's no packaging, but everything goes back in the box and they just take it back, and they'll use my box 10-15 times for me.
That's right. It's a repatriation of where the bottles go back to that we've just said, 200 brewers in Sussex, you imagine, in Kent, trying to get them back to the original brewery.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's the right thing to do, but there's a lot of practical challenges to get to that point.
Absolutely. So, what's your best-selling beer?
A best-selling beer is the Brew Lager. I brought the best-selling beer along to you, so the Curious Brew Lager. Followed up by, on the world, probably our Pogo. Really, really popular. So you've had the two favourites. My favourite is the Curious Apple with the cider. I'm a cider drinker.
Fantastic. Have you always been a cider drinker?
Not always. I started off from Carskell many years ago. But no, I love my cider. I've worked for a couple of cideries as well. Just find it, nice, crisp and refreshing. But my beer of choice of the beer range is probably the Session IPA that Curious produce.
Okay, cool. Danny, it's fascinating talking to you. You know, being from this area, we're all reasonably familiar with Curious Brewery, and you know, we drive past the brewery, and as you say, you can actually see in it as you walk past it or drive past it, you can actually see them making the beer anyway, and it's a fantastic resource, and it's a great addition to the Kent economy for what it does, and it's got national prominence already. We're, as locals, we're all incredibly proud of it. Even those of us that don't drink, we go, if I did, I would. I come and eat there on a fairly regular basis, and the last time actually I was in there was a few weeks ago with a couple of ladies that do a show here, the Diamond Ladies, Noreen and Julie. We all went for lunch there and had a very nice time. So I'm not taking you.
No, well, you couldn't afford me.
No, I couldn't. You're right.
Come with your new husband.
My new husband. In fact, he's jumping up and down on WhatsApp because I put a picture on for my family, and he goes, don't forget me. But the new husband I will definitely bring to your place as well.
Crumble will look out for you.
You can meet him. And the Crumble. Where was it? Because I love a free house, of course, and we're losing our free houses. Without... being rude. I get really bored when it's Shepherd Neame, and we've got so many, we've lost so many free houses.
We used to eat regularly in a pub called The Bull at Billerson, which was a Shepherd Neame pub, and the lovely couple that ran it moved on, and a new couple took it over, and it was open for about 3 months, and they stopped serving food because they didn't have a chef, and it's been empty now for 7 months.
Very, very sad.
And there's a sign on the door from Shepherd Neame saying, "Don't worry, we're going to open again soon," but it's been up there 7 months now.
We have to be careful what we say on here, but you know, it's also about the profit and what Shepherd Neame take.
It's hard work
running a pub.
I'm not having a go at anybody because the pub industry itself has gone through some terrible times. Yeah. I mean, a couple of years ago, there was a counter of how many pubs were closing every day. Mm. You know, because we consume things in different ways now.
Yeah.
You know, pub culture is not what it was.
Well, this is why the little micro pubs are doing really well, I think, because that's going back to how pubs were without a telly. Yeah. You know. Yeah. Without all the sports stuff on the TV, you could just chat.
It's that social and meeting friends over a drink, which is the essence of the art.
Yeah.
It's a community centre often.
Yeah. You see?
There's not much left in the village where I live, but we have a lovely pub, the Lydon Bell, and they have done really well at trying to diversify what they do. Mm. They've got B&B, they've got all of those kinds of things.
Yes.
But they also do, you know, beer festivals and all of those kinds of things. And I think we also have a duty to support them.
Yeah.
As you were saying, you know, you're local pub, you were going there.
Yeah.
I think we can bemoan the disappearance of all those micro pubs or you know your local butcher, all of those kinds of things. But you actually have to go and support them.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Local
what's
stuff.
Your village, Lucy?
Lydon.
Lydden.
It's not very far from the Lydon race circuit for those who like cars and all of those kinds of things.
And what's it near that we would know in Dover?
It's before Dover as you come down the A2.
It's on the A2.
If you come down the A2, there's that lovely traffic light in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
The village is down the bottom of the traffic light, isn't it?
And is that your village?
That's where I live.
Oh,
and
it's lovely,
but the Bell is an amazing pub.
Hmm.
But it's for sale at the moment, and we're really worried because you want an amazing kind of...
So why are they going, do you know?
I just think they're retiring, possibly. Hmm. I have no idea.
Well, you know, there's a whole heap of issues around... over the years about the pub business and the changing culture of pubs. You know, many years ago, before the advent of drink driving laws and before the cessation of smoking in, you know, pubs, all of those kind of things had a knock-on effect. Quite rightly, but they still had a knock-on effect, yeah? And for rural pubs especially, it's incredibly difficult. How do you get a lot of people to a rural pub that can then get home afterwards? You know, it's not easy.
When it's rural, that's right, exactly. And, of course, now with people's mortgages going up, it's about money, isn't it? We went out for breakfast the other day, a very nice breakfast, but it was my new husband's birthday. I bought him a Bloody Mary, and I had a... Mimosa.
Yeah.
And it was like, it came to 40-something pounds for breakfast.
Yeah.
And, you know, we looked at each other and just thought, this is not sustainable, you know. We used to go out for breakfast 2-3 times a week.
But everything costs more to them as it does to us.
And their energy. Their energy.
And of course, as we've discovered talking to Danny, you know, you can go into a supermarket and buy their wonderful beer.
Yeah.
You can even buy it online. And he's going to tell us in a minute how we can do that.
Yeah.
All these things are just the changing nature of life and how it is. Danny, thank you so much for telling us about the brewery. It's been a fascinating story. I could talk to you forever about it because it just fascinates me, the whole process. Give us a shout out for your website so people know they can go and have a look at your products and all the rest of it.
So it's very easy to remember. So it's www.curiousbrewery.com or www.wildbeerco.com.
Fantastic. Have a look at either of those. They're both listed on the Kempis Radio website. They'll stay on there forever. Show number 637. You can find it there. Check it out. If you want to buy some beer, you can buy it online or you can buy it in Waitrose or, you know, in your local pub quite often as well. Danny, thank you so much for that. We're fast approaching the end of the show. You haven't read a single email yet.
Well, I'm out of time because the Twitter has been extremely busy. We had a tweet from Penfold Holes, Richard Barker. He says, Chapeldown make curious brew, which is also very nice. And Richard Barker, you find in Penfold Holes. He's a kidney cancer survivor. He's a former footballer and cricketer. wine, dog, and music lover, also an Arsenal fan, but other
You can't have everything, can you? Tedson Chamber, good afternoon, Paul, and your little helper.
Yeah, that must be.
Please, can you give a shout out to a busy Chamber team dealing with even more membership inquiries? Well, of course we can. That's the Tedson Chamber of Commerce, of which we are proud members.
We are. And, well, Tazy, gosh, I've got very busy, sorry. Tazy, 65, she's just disappeared, but she was...
She's never 65.
64. She was just talking about her local. She's asking if you do a pear cider.
We don't at the moment, but that's not to say we can't.
No.
Make a note, Danny, make a note.
Danny, I've got a pear in my handbag if you want to have a go.
Yeah, I've seen them. Tracy's also said about Lucy, well done for highlighting all the initiatives you're involved in. Great conversation around skills.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
And Tracy was always saying she liked my dress as well.
And Zina has asked the question, Zina Narani, do you do non-alcoholic beers?
We do an alcohol-free soda, actually, which we've just run out of. We're brewing it, but we do two variants.
Right.
You will see them on the World Beer site. So we do an alcohol-free soda, and we're looking at some alcohol-free beer, yes.
Fantastic. I'll have to check that out.
Yeah.
Did I read from Casey Canine?
You haven't.
So Casey Canine, who's an avid greyhound that listens every week, he says, good afternoon, Paul and Jules. Please can you give a shout-out to a very patient greyhound still waiting to meet the apple of his eye, which is, of course, my Darcy Greyhound. Yeah. And Wayne Cunnington, I told you, he sent you the article on his mum at Church's Shoes.
Yeah, yeah.
DG East, celebrating delivery of two vans to a long-standing customer, still waiting for two more after 14 months.
Blimey.
That's terrible. Is that still the chips shortage or something else?
Right.
You don't have to answer.
Go on.
Well, no, is it a chip shortage for this? The two vans he's waiting 14 months?
Yeah, yeah.
I get the feeling you're not concentrating.
I'm not listening to you.
What are you looking at?
I'm trying to catch up with the tweets. There's a million tweets coming through here, and we got 12 minutes to read them all out, and we haven't even started on any of the emails. Yes, there's a worldwide chip shortage.
That's what it was.
Mostly caused, especially in the automotive industry, mostly caused because a lot of automotive chips are made in Ukraine, and they're not really making very many at the moment. And that's one of the problems.
I had a delivery of a Hoover yesterday, and very sad, it was made in China, the Shark.
Yeah.
To replace my old Shark, and incredible service, shark.co.uk, whatever they are. I ordered it on Sunday, it came on Monday morning.
Yeah.
But it's made in China.
I got my new oven.
Oh, have you?
Where's
that made?
I don't know, I didn't look.
Can you actually afford to run it, though?
No.
I mean, we're just using our air fryer now. Yeah,
yeah,
no. Can't afford to put the oven on.
I had to buy an oven because somebody broke our other one.
No. Mm. Yeah, beginning with A.
No, I'm not casting aspersions. it could have happened to anyone.
Talking about aspersions, my nasturtiums that I planted have all died. They had a little black fly on. and if any gardeners know, I'm really good at growing things, but they've just, like, wilted and they look very sad. Nasturtiums.
I love going from aspersions to nasturtiums.
Yeah. I was hoping to be eating them, you see, by now.
Very nice.
But my banana plant is doing very well. We've taken him out of a pot and put him in the garden. He's doing really, really well. I will be fleecing him at winter, though, because he's a tropical, isn't he?
Yeah. Right. Kim Webster continues her journey. This is important, so I need to tell you about it. Kim Webster continues her journey with youth outreach work with thanks to Seven Oaks District Council funding. Mum of two, Kim Webster, who's the youth executive at Kenwood Trust, lost one of her sons, William, 5 years ago. William was a Canterbury College student, aged just 17, and he died after he took the painkiller Tramadol and fell unconscious before being rushed to hospital where, tragically, he couldn't be revived. Kim has made it her ambition to make a difference, helping other young people understand the dangers and implications of addiction to vaping, taking drugs, through Kenwood Trust's intervention and education program in schools. Since the tragedy, Kim has spoken to over 25,000 teenagers about what actually happens when someone you love dies and the decisions a parent has to make as a consequence. Now, with the funding from Sevenoaks District Council, Kim has been able to talk to young people under the wing of her colleague Andy Watson, doing outreach work in various hangout areas of Sevenoaks. Will was a typical teenager, but he was naive, curious and uneducated in the dangers of drug use, just like all of our children. If I can help save lives by sharing my journey and asking them to learn from Will's mistake, then it's something I will continue to do in his memory. If you're a school in Kent and would like to book Kenwood's youth team's invaluable talk, please contact Christy, that's Christy with a Y, .bishop@kenwoodtrust.org.uk, or you can go to our website, which is kenwoodtrust.org.uk/services/youth work. And Kim is a fantastic ambassador and teacher of the things to be wary of with young people.
Well, it kind of reminds me of our guest last week, Emma Haynes, who is at M. Jade Haynes, H-A-M for mother, E-S. She was on last week, who was given prescription drugs, wasn't she?
And well, Tramadol's a prescription drug.
Yeah, she had a really, really, really tough time. So, yeah, not everything you get is good for you.
Absolutely. The Rebel Business School has got another free business support course coming up for Kent, and I wanted to make sure that everybody in the community knows about it. It's a practical, inspiring, action-focused course, and it runs online from the 10th to the 21st of July, and it helps people to start and grow businesses in a straightforward way and without getting into debt. I've got a couple of testimonials here. I cannot even say more than thank you. I'm a dropout from every school and education union college I've never completed a course in school before, because I always drop out in the first, and this is the first time I've finished something in my life, and I've now launched a business. There's lots more feedback on this, but if you go to the Rebel Business School, therebelschool.com/Kent, you'll find out all about this program. It's entirely free, it's funded by the government, and it's an incredibly practical course. If you want to hear more about it, Henry Nicholson, who is the person behind it, was on the Business Bunker show about 2 months ago. And you can hear his interview there if you want to. What you got, Jules?
One of Kent's leading food manufacturers has received a major royal seal of approval. Namisha Raja, who's the founder.
Nims.
We've had lots of those, haven't we, over
we
the
have.
Years?
We have. And she's been on the show a couple of times.
She has. She's in Sittingbourne. She was awarded an MBE in King Charles's first ever birthday honours for her services.
Done.
So we're hobnobbing now with royalty points.
Yeah.
And the former coffee shop owner sold her company to start the UK's first air-dried fruit crisp manufacturer in 2016, and has seen it become a huge success, supplying its growing range of products to high street retailers. She supplies to Eurotunnel, British Airways, and more recently to Pret-a-Manger, and ZZ and Wagamama restaurants. So she's in quite some big change, isn't she?
Absolutely. I've just had a message that says it was an accident.
A message.
It was an accident. Sweetheart, I absolutely know it's an accident. It was her. It was Jules that was trying to point fingers at you.
No. You just said the other week, rather cagily, that it wasn't you. But she was cooking you a lovely lamb casserole. So,
she was. Did that last?
That's the main... Did that go on the floor? And you scraped it up off the floor?
Yeah, it's only had a bit of glass in it, and there's nothing to worry about.
So you sucked that out and went on?
Yeah.
Was it Hoggett?
No.
I've got a lot of Hoggett in my
freezer.
But it was a nice lamb casserole.
It was.
So all is forgiven.
Well, it was forgiven in the first place. It wasn't her fault. It was an accident. It was hot.
Exactly.
Classic Cars at Kenwood. Classic Cars, campers, bikes and scooters are all welcome on the third Sunday of every month, 10 a.m. to 12 midday. It's £5 a vehicle. You can pre-book and you get tea and coffee. If you can book by ringing Maidstone 01622 814 187. There's also bacon rolls or veggie rolls available. And they held the first one in June, and there was a fantastic turnout of really interesting vehicles. So you can go down and view them as well. If you want to find out more about it, you can also look up kentbusinessradio.co.uk/calendar.
Diary date, join us on the 12th of July for the next Swanley networking meeting. And the meeting will be hosted at the brand new co-working space, The Meeting Point, which is in Swanley. There is a little website. It will be on kentbusinessradio.co.uk after the show, but there is a sevenoakschamber.com event bit there. And also, the third Thursday networking will be held at the prestigious Tunbridge School.
Prestigious.
And it's sponsored by Chamber Business Partners, Hilden Park Accountants, and that's on July the 26th. It's at 10:30 to 12 midday. 7xchamber.com event July Tunbridge.
All of these events can be found on campusradio.co.uk/calendar, and that's regularly updated as new events come along. If you've got an event anywhere in Kent or East Sussex and you'd like us to promote it, all you've got to do is send us an email to hello@bizradio.co.uk, and we will gladly put it on and promote it on our social media accounts and also on the radio show.
And we would love to hear how you're all doing with the energy prices and all that, if you need any support. And use the Bee Bunker hashtag if you tweet us.
Mm-hmm. What else you got, Jules?
Well, there's a Biddenden Tractor Fair.
The Tractor Fair.
You try and say Biddenden after...
Biddenden Tractor Fair.
So it's a... Should I say it like a pirate or not?
Yeah, do it like a pirate.
Traditional day out for the whole family. Have you got your tickets yet? Join us over the weekend of 20th of August. It's not very pirate, is it?
Yeah, no.
In the fields of Holden Farm, Sissinghurst Road.
That was more wench than pirate, wasn't it?
Because my dress keeps going off the shoulder. Very wenchy. So you can go to www.kentbusinessradio.co.uk, put a little slash and calendar, and you'll find it.
Mm-hmm. We're opening.
Are you?
Yeah, Island Works. Island Works opens in Sheerness on the 17th of July.
Is John Nerdon?
Co-working space. He's already been.
My little friend.
John's already been. He came to one of the launch, the press. We had a press event a few weeks ago. Mm. Yeah, fantastic building. Dockyard Church at the entrance to Sheerness Docks is now Island Works. There's a coffee shop that's open to the public, meeting rooms, event space,
Nibbles?
And co-working.
Nibbles? Nibbles with your coffee.
Yeah, well, you can buy food with the coffee.
Have you got a homemade cake?
We've got all kinds of things.
What you got? Any savouries?
We've got everything. It's a,
what you got?
Well, everything.
Coffee
sandwiches.
Rolls.
Yeah, we've got mashed avocado and goat salad.
Oh, how cheesy. What, on Sheerness? mashed avocado?
Yeah.
Very Kentish, that.
Yeah, no, I mean, sandwiches, cakes, baguettes.
Yeah, I'd have them.
Yeah, yeah.
All of them. Paninis. Yeah.
I've actually just ordered a panini press.
Oh, I get very cross about paninis. Talking about France, I know you're in Flanders, but I'm very fond, Lucy, of a Cremon.
Oh, yeah.
I'm very fond of a Cremon. I think it's very underrated. And when you were talking about people eating and that in their area and local, when you go to Ibiza and I see all the hen nights and they're asking for Prosecco, it's very embarrassing. And I go, it's Cava here. It's not Prosecco. And Cava is actually nicer than Prosecco.
Globalism, you see. Globalism.
Oh. It is, though. You know, you can...
Sad, isn't it?
My dad always said that he'd prefer a good Cremant to a bad champagne.
Yeah.
And if he was in Italy, he'd have Prosecco. And if he was in Spain, he'd have Cava.
Cava, yeah.
But it didn't, you know, you go where you kind of think, as you said, some things don't travel very well.
Sure, yeah.
And
including Paul Andrews.
Yeah.
but I think you need to kind of experience what's
there.
Cremant can be really nice.
Very, very pleasant. Paul, you do realise it's 14:59 on my thing.
I do, yeah, and you haven't stopped talking, have you?
Well,
so I can end the show.
I was talking about Cremon.
Yeah, absolutely, which we didn't need to know. So we're at the end of the show. I want to say a huge thank you to our fantastic guest, Lucy Druin of Kent Victor Chamber, Skills Programme Manager, to Danny Hoskins of Shrewsbury. Thank you so much to my annoying co-host, Jules Sirkin.
Look, he's gone all coquettish.
Yeah, we'll be back with another show next week. Enjoy your week, stay safe, and we'll see you all soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye for now.
Thank you. The Business Bunker with Paul Andrew.